Whoa, has it been 4 weeks already? Feels like we just started on this journey. Before I start, how rude of me. Good evening, everyone. I'm so used to coming up after sharing announcements, and in my mind, I feel like I've greeted everybody. My apologies for that. I hope everyone's well. We are at the end of the series. It feels like we just started last week, but it's been 4 weeks. But it's been four good weeks, if I must say so myself. We've gone through Haggai from chapter 1, and we've seen the challenge in chapter 1 and verse 5, where it says, "Now therefore thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." We've been challenged from this series, from Haggai, that we are to consider our ways when it comes to the building of the temple of God. But before I start, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father, just echo the cries of that song. Lord, have mercy on me. Father, if it wasn't for the beauty and the splendor of your grace, Father, all this would be futile. But Lord, you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus. He came and displayed the love of God. He came on earth and revealed God to man. And as well, he accomplished the work of salvation. Lord, as you hung on that cross, you said, "It is finished." And Father, 3 days later, you rose up from the dead, conquering sin and death. Lord, it is through your grace and our faith in you that, Lord, we can attain to eternal life. So God, even as I pray this prayer, I pray for those who are sitting in the pews this evening, who do not know you as Lord and Savior. Won't you start a work in their hearts now, that Lord, when they leave this place, they would know you as God and Savior of their lives. As I share of your word, O God, won't you help me, Lord, to be honest in my interpretation of your word. May your spirit lead and guide me as I share. And Father, I pray for the hearts of the recipients of your word. Lord, I pray once again that we receive your word with much joy and Lord, eager to apply it in our lives, for the furtherance of your kingdom and your glory alone. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. So like any other series, in the series in Haggai, we've had our ups and we've had our downs. We've been encouraged by Haggai, and as well, we've been challenged. Within the book of Haggai, we've been rebuked, and in the same breath, we've been edified. But today we are at the end of the book. And I must say, preparing this message was a joy to me because as I prepared this, I was also preparing for a session that I had over at Glen Haven. And I shared over there about the coming of God and the word became flesh. And this evening I share on the season finale and how it all ends. If you wondered why I've called it the season finale, it's not because I'm ending the series in the book of Haggai. But I want to speak about the end. Not the end of the series, but the end of the work of salvation when we finally get to be with our Lord and Savior in heaven forever. So in this letter, we will see that Haggai, through God, encourages Zerubbabel about things that are to come. And he encourages him about the temple that God will build and what it would look like. So the first thing we're going to look at is they were disappointed by the outcome. If you have your Bibles in Haggai chapter 2, we'll pick up our reading from verses 1 to verse 9. And it reads, "In the seventh month of the 21st day of the month, the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet, 'Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to all the remnant of the people, and say, Who is left among you who saw this house in its former glory? How do you see it now? Is it not as nothing in your eyes? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, O you people of the land, declares the Lord. Work, for I am with you, declares the Lord of hosts. according to the covenant I have made with you when you come out of Egypt. My spirit remains in your midst. Fear not. For thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once more in a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations so that the treasures of the nations shall come in, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. In this place I will give peace, declares the Lord of hosts. Verse 20. The word of the Lord came a second time to Haggai on the 24th day of the month. Speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I am about to shake the heavens and the earth, and to overthrow the throne of kingdoms. I am about to destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the nations, and overthrow the chariots and their riders, and the horses and their riders shall go down. Everyone by the sword of his brother, on that day, declares the Lord of hosts, I will take you, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, declares the Lord, and make you like a signet ring, for I have chosen you, declares the Lord of hosts. The first thing that we see here is that the people were disappointed by the outcome. I remember my first experience baking. Wasn't a good one. I was watching MasterChef, and it looked really easy. And I Googled all the ingredients, and I said, you know what? I'm going to take a stab at baking this cake. I'm going to surprise my family, because I mean, I've baked before, so this should be easy. So I took the ingredients, and I mean, everything was coming together, and it looked like a mess, like it was on TV, so I thought I was really close. And then I got to the final product. It looked brown. It was complete. But when I took one bite of it, it was absolutely horrible. It was nothing compared to that which I've seen on TV. I can share the same story about when I first cooked for the first time. But the reality is, I was disappointed by the outcome. It looked nothing like that, like the image I saw on TV. It looked nothing like when I closed my eyes and imagined this beautiful cake. It looked nothing like it. The nation here was also disappointed. In verses 1 to verse 3 of chapter 2, we see that after a month of the nation rebuilding the temple, it became clear that what the exiles were building was nothing special compared to that which Solomon had built. Using their human perspective as they looked at this temple, they grew disappointed at what it looked like. Those within the community, those who worked in the building of the temple, who had actually seen Solomon's temple before the exile, saw this new house and said, it's nothing like Solomon's temple. So they grew disappointed. So as they started to see this, I wanted to catch the important phrase that Haggai notes here. And Haggai says, it is nothing in your eyes. You see, the people once again fell prey to their old mistakes, and what they forgot was who it was that gave them this challenge to build the house. They forgot to whose glory this house was to be for. But as they built, once again they got distracted and they started comparing this temple to the temple that Solomon had built. You see, not only that, but there were prophets, the likes of Daniel and Micah, who prophesied of this anticipated beautiful temple, which would be better than the temple that Solomon had built. So as the people are building, they're thinking about what Daniel had prophesied, what Micah had prophesied, and also Solomon's temple. And when they compare all of this with what was before them, they were definitely disappointed. You see, they envisioned a temple which was built with precision and finesse. But what was before them was nothing like it. This was to be the house where all nations, all peoples would flood in to hear from God. The word of the Lord should come out from this temple to all peoples. And this house was to be exalted above the hills, and people were to see this house and say, oh, how wonderful the God is of that people. But But the temple didn't match their standards. What is missing in this temple? Zerubbabel's temple lacked what many scholars call the lack of the Holy Spirit. You see, when Solomon had built his temple, he had many prophets who were around him at that time. Unfortunately, when Zerubbabel finishes the building of this temple, all he had was, he only had Haggai, he only had Zechariah, he had Ezra, the scribe, but he didn't have much of a spiritual leadership presence around him. The temple also lacked the eternal flame which would have been found in the Holy of Holies. This eternal flame was to symbolize the presence of the Holy Spirit. Not only that, but this flame was also to symbolize the eternal life that God would promise to his people. It was absent from this temple. The Holy of Holies also didn't have the Ark of the Covenant. Because you understand, when the temple was built, when the temple was destroyed, when the people came in to raid the country, Jeremiah took the Ark of the Covenant and went and hid it. He hid the Ark, and as a result, as they finished the building of this temple within the Holy of Holies, the Ark of the Covenant was not there. So this second temple lacked a lot of what the people were looking for within the temple. And it also lacked the grandeur, because Israel at this time was a poverty-stricken people. Remember, when Solomon had built the temple, he had innumerable riches. He was a rich man as he built this temple. But now the question has to come back home. Are we not like the people who are building this temple? Do we not find ourselves saying, Lord, why is Central not like that church? Why doesn't Central have the things that that church has? Lord, we've been building, we've been working, we've been serving for years here at Central, but it's not matching the ideas we've envisioned for this church. Maybe some of us were present in what I'd call the glory days. When the church pews were filled to the brim. When Sunday school was full. When everybody was excited to join a Bible study. When children's ministry was full. When youth was full. Maybe you remember those times and you come back and say, but, oh Lord, it is not the same. Do you remember a time when people walked through those doors for nothing else but to hear the word of God preached and taught? You see, the encouragement that Haggai was saying here is, oh Israel, won't you remember the excuses you made in the beginning? That you did not want to even rebuild or maintain the temple of God. Therefore, Centralites or the church at large, we are to stop. Stop navel-gazing and listing things that we do or do not have, and rest on that assurance that no matter what happens, God is building his church. We are to spend more of our time, more of our energy with courage by the strength of God, doing all that he has called us to do. Honestly, it's not about the vision that we have in our minds, but it's about the work that he has set before us. So what is the cure to this curse? The cure is the chief cornerstone. For all 3 weeks, as we've shared and as we've gone through this series, we've seen God time and time again saying, do not worry, for I am with you. He says the same thing again. But before he says that, he encourages the people and he says to them, be strong and work. He doesn't say, just be strong. He doesn't just say, withhold all the opposition that's coming from the outside. But he says, whilst you're being strong, do the work that I have set before you. So in verses 5 to 9, Haggai reminds the people that it is by the word of God that God has made an agreement, a covenant, a treaty with his people, and promised that he and he alone saved them from poverty and from slavery in Egypt. He reminds them that it was my word, my promise that I gave to you when you prayed to me in Egypt, when you cried out to me and said, Lord, save us from this time of difficulty. I said that I will save you. He says, look back now. Look back to when I gave you my word and I fulfilled it. I am the same God and I will once again restore the glory of my people, which in essence will bring me the glory. So Israel could take hold and rest on the assurance that no matter what happened to them, no matter what the future might bring, their salvation was secure because it was wholly the work of God and His word. Christ said to His people, He said, sanctify them by the truth, for my word is truth. Because God is true, we can trust that every word that He has given to us will be true, and He has promised that His church will be built. So if we've been caught by the curse of comparing, oh Lord, why isn't our church like that? Let us rest assured in the promises that God said, I will build my church. He promised and said, I am with you. Haggai once again assures the people that they are not alone in the building of the temple of God. Their job was to focus their eyes on the task at hand with the knowledge that the Lord of hosts is with them. That God who created all things is backing them. It is that beautiful partnership that Paul wrote of in Corinthians, where Paul says, look, I planted, Apollos watered, but it's God who gives the increase. Maybe you've been here for many years, or maybe you've been serving in ministry for many years, and you feel like you've planted, but you haven't seen the fruits of your labor. But in your lifetime, it could happen that you plant and someone else will water. And someone else will water on top of that water, and someone else will water. But it is only Christ who will bring the increase. It might not be in our lifetime, but if God is at work, it will come. Piper so wonderfully summarizes Matthew 16, where Christ says the gates of Hades will not prevail the work of the building of the church. Piper says Christ is triumphantly committed to building His church. Christ has an unwavering commitment to gather His church from all peoples of the world. Not just Westerners, not just white, or red, or black, or yellow, but all peoples. Every shade, every language, every tribe. Christ's radical way of winning the nations, namely by the death of Himself and the death of His people daily, the gates of Hades will not prevail. They will unlock from the inside. My encouragement today is stay faithful, O saint. Stay faithful, O worker in the building. Stay faithful, O builder of the kingdom of Christ. Do not grow weary of doing good. Do not grow weary of the service that lies ahead of you. Be encouraged and armed by the riches of His grace. And as we work, we have the beautiful promise, and that's our second point, to look ahead to that which is to come. You see, in one form or another, God's people will suffer under exilic conditions of pain and difficulty until Christ returns. Whilst we keep working, whilst we keep serving God, we will suffer some sort of persecution. The work will never look like it's complete. It will never look like it's perfect because of this sin-stained world. We will still experience crime and poverty till He comes. We will still experience frustration and conflict amongst each other until He comes. We will feel and see oppression till He comes. Death and sorrow will remain a reality until He comes. People will reject God until He comes. Political notions and socialistic views will seep into the church until He comes. False prophets and false witnesses will continue to throw mud at the work of the building of the temple of God until He comes. But better is coming. Zechariah is told that there will be a particular day coming when sin of the land will be taken away. In Zechariah 3 verse 9. And once again, this is only possible not because of a priest who walked into a temple that was built by human hands, but this will only be possible because of Christ, who, who went into the very abode of God as our high priest to offer his own blood as an atonement for our sins. We will experience a day when sin will be no more only because of Christ crucified and resurrected again. You see, in verses 20 to 23, for the first time in the book of Haggai, we see that Zerubbabel is mentioned alone. Many times when we read, it says, to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, to Joshua, and then he goes on to say to the remnant. But in verse 20 to 23, it says, speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying. Zerubbabel was singled out in this portion. Why? It is understood that Zerubbabel might have felt that he was overlooked for kingship. You see, after the nation was freed from exile and they made their way back in Jerusalem, they were to pick the next king. Now Zerubbabel, after all the work he has done for God, after his faithful laboring to God, he feels as though, but God, I've been serving you faithfully, why not me? Why won't I be the king of your people? He probably felt discouraged that God did not see his efforts. But God gave him an even better title. He would be called my servant. He wouldn't be a king, but God would give him the title that he only gave to Daniel, he gave to Moses, and he gave to David as well. And he said, these are my servants. There is no greater title than that. Won't you tonight aspire to be a servant of God? Even when your labors are not recognized by man, even when your sacrifices are not appreciated by man, won't you stay faithful in being a servant of God? For the truth is, God sees the labors of his own, and he is the rewarder of the faithful. I wanted to take some time to encourage us from a chapter in Revelation 21. If you have your Bibles, turn to Revelation 21. And I want us to use this moment to just imagine. To just imagine what it will look like when the work is finally complete. When our labors and our toil has finally come to an end. When Christ has finally collected his church and has finally established his kingdom. When we will no longer worry about what divides us, but we just fix our eyes on Christ who is with us. And we'll read Revelation 21. So just take some time and just reflect on these words, and please don't be shy. If there's a portion where you feel encouraged, just shout out hallelujah. Anticipating what the Lord is going to do as we look ahead. Verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth have passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. Also he said, write down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Remember, he said that in Haggai as well. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for the murderer, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Then came one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls of the seven last plagues and spoke to me saying, come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, its radiance, like a most rare jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall, 12 gates, and at the 12 gates, 12 angels. And on the gates, the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel were inscribed. And on the east, 3 gates, on the north, 3 gates, on the south, 3 gates, and on the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Verse 22. And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city had no need of sun or moon or shine on it, for the glory of God gives its light. And its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it, and its gates will never be shut by day, and there shall be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will ever enter it. Nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Look ahead for that which is coming. Greater things are yet to come. As you look at the church and sometimes feel discouraged that it isn't like you read it in the pages, remember there is coming a day when that which is better is coming. And the kingdom of God will finally be established and nothing shall prevail over it. So in conclusion, church, won't we be encouraged that the end has been written and revealed to us? God has shown us his triumphant victory. He has shown us his hand. The sovereign Lord of the universe is in control. Whatever dangers and difficulties the people of God may have in their labors for his glory, God is still on his throne. As we build, as we minister, as we serve him day by day, may we always be reminded that it is for his glory alone, and the Lord God Almighty is with us. May we be reminded as well that those who are not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life will pay for their portion in the lake of fire. As much as this message is to encourage the church, those who have rejected God, those whose names are not found in the Lamb's Book of Life, will not experience the beautiful things mentioned in Revelation 21. If you're sitting here this evening and you're not sure where you stand with God, maybe you've been in conflict with God and you know for certain that you have not placed your faith in Him, please, I plead with you, do not leave without speaking to somebody. Do not leave without considering the words of John in Revelation, that whoever was not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be thrown in the lake of fire and sulfur. Folks, may we be reminded again that we've been left here on earth to build his kingdom and not ours. Won't you consider your ways and be strong and work for the Lord God Almighty is with you. Let us pray. Oh Lord, I just want to say thank you. Lord, as I read the words in Revelation 21 and the promises in your word about the better that is coming, Lord, my heart is just filled with joy. Father, as I know that here on earth we toil and labor and it is difficult, Lord, the day is coming where we will not need to break a sweat, where we will be experiencing perfect fellowship with our Savior. God will dwell with man. Once again, there will be no sin in the land. So Lord, I would like to echo the prayers of the Puritan who prays, Oh my Lord, may I arrive where means of grace cease, and I need no more to fast, pray, weep, watch, be tempted, attend preaching and sacrament, where nothing defiles, where is no grief, sorrow, sin or death, separation, tears, pale face, lingered bodies, aching joints, feeble infancy, decrepit age, peccant humors, pining sickness, grinning fears and consuming cares. Where is personal completeness? Where the more perfect the sight of the more beautiful the object, the more perfect the appetite, the sweeter the food, the more the musical the ear, the more pleasant the melody, the more complete the soul, the more happy its joys, where its full knowledge of thee. Here I am, O God, an ant, and as I view a nest of ants, so do they view me and my fellow creatures. But as an ant doesn't know me, my nature, my thoughts, so here I cannot know thee clearly. But there I shall be near you, O God, dwell with your family, stand in your present chamber, and as an heir in your kingdom, as the spouse of Christ, and as a member of your body, one with him who is one with thee, and exercise all my prayer, all my powers of body and soul in the enjoyment of thee. O Lord, I cannot wait for the day when with Christ we shall be forevermore. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.